Are you familiar with the notion of the alpha male? The alpha male. The concept comes from the study of groups of chimpanzees or packs of wolves. Invariably, one chimp or one wolf will become the leader and subdue all challengers. And if necessary, he will kill them. He is the alpha male of the group. This concept has been used to explain human interactions, where one male dominates all contenders and leads the group where he wants it to go. There is only one alpha male. And by contrast, all others are beta males, the second string team. There are many characteristics of the alpha male, but these three seem to be the most common. And as I go through these, you can check to see whether Deacon Charlie or I possess more qualities of the alpha male. Sometimes I feel I need to kill him to show who's boss around here. First of all, alphas are confident and competitive. Alpha males are not afraid. They want to win at all costs, and not just win, but crush their opponents. Secondly, alphas are strong physically, mentally, emotionally, and socially. When an alpha male walks into a room, he quickly scans the room to see if any male is stronger than he is. When an alpha female enters a room, she looks around to see if any women are prettier than she is. Beauty is strength. Thirdly, alphas dress for success and know how to use body language. They believe clothes might not make the man, but clothes do make the alpha man. They carefully control how they stand, how they walk, where their eyes look, how they position their hands, even how they shake hands. Their groomed bodies shout, "I'm in charge around here." In any room full of people, it's easy to pick out the alpha male in the group. If we were to hold Jesus up to the standard of an alpha male, what would we discover? I'm afraid we might be disappointed. Was he confident and competitive? In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is filled with doubts and anxieties. He even asks his father to let the cup of suffering pass by him. In Matthew 20, 16, Jesus taught that the last would be first and the first would be last. Not very confident or competitive. Was he strong? Jesus urges his disciples in Matthew 5, 39, not to fight back. But when someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn and offer the other cheek as well. Was he well-dressed with powerful body language? We read in Mark 15, verse 24, that the soldiers stripped him of his garments before crucifying him naked to a tree. Not dressed for success. How about body language? Jesus fell three times carrying his cross. And finally, in Mark 15, verse 21, Simon of Cyrene is pressed into service to carry the cross. Isaiah 53, verse 3, sums up Jesus' earthly life. He was spurned and avoided by men, a man of suffering, knowing pain, like one from whom you turn your face, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. And yet, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." As you may know, Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter. Jesus, therefore, is the beginning and the end of time. In heaven, Jesus reigns as the true Alpha male, the eternal King and the universal Lord, and all worship him. When he descended to earth, however, he stripped himself of his royal robes and his divine dignity, not to become a beta male, but an omega, to be the last to be a slave. This makes sense of our Lord's whole life, his clandestine birth in Bethlehem, his life of obscurity as a carpenter, his career of itinerant preaching and teaching, his ignominious death on a tree, and finally his triumphant resurrection that was all but hidden from the eyes of the world. Who saw the resurrection? Nobody. If it had been me, if I had risen from the dead on Easter Sunday, I would have gone up to Deacon Charlie, flexed my bulging muscles, and said, "Now who's the alpha male?" But Jesus became an omega on earth and hid his alpha for heaven. My friends, let me ask you, do you feel more like an alpha or an omega? Sometimes when we fail at a project or lose a job or get a divorce or are rejected by others, we feel small and insignificant. We feel far from God and from others. But I would suggest to you that those moments might be when you are the closest to being like Christ. On the other hand, when all goes well and we are heaping success on top of success and victories left and right, we should not conclude that we are being super Christians, that God loves us more than he loves others. It may not mean any such thing. Sometimes it is the omegas on earth that become the alphas in heaven. In the 3rd century, an anonymous author wrote a letter to Diognetus and described the ideal Christian life. It said, "Christians love all men, but all men persecute them. Condemned because they are not understood, they are put to death, but raised to life again. They live in poverty, but enrich many. They are totally destitute, but possess an abundance of everything. They suffer dishonor, but that is their glory. A blessing is their answer to abuse, deference their response to insult. But for the good they do, they receive the punishment of malefactors. But even then they rejoice, as if receiving the gift of life." That description does not sound like someone who is confident or competitive, strong or well-dressed, or has dominant body language. In fact, the author invites Diognetus and us to be the opposite. On Easter Sunday, the eyes of faith teach us that Jesus is the true Alpha male, gloriously risen, triumphantly reigning, and crowned with immortality. But in the eyes of the world, he's still just the omega. Praised be Jesus Christ.